College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to banter back and forth, preview, predict, all sorts of stuff pertaining to, of course, college football. This week five is, we'll obviously get to it. But week four did give us some upsets, no doubt about it, and some, like we said last week, almost upsets. Oklahoma almost lost to West Virginia 16-13. Iowa kind of had an uneven game, whatever. They got the job done. Arkansas came through for us. NC State in double overtime. We were talking about Clemson, man. They're just not looking right. Maybe this will wake them up, but they got beat. Clemson did. Notre Dame put it all together. You know, they've had a bunch of tight games. Not looking good. Shit, they had to Florida State missed a kick. Otherwise, they would have beat them. They just destroyed. I mean, 41-13, Wisconsin. Wisconsin really has to go back to the drawing board. Their quarterback is just this guy, I'll tell you what. Baylor upset Iowa State, 31-29. I actually watched that last night, the second half. Rutgers kept it under 20, but Michigan keeps going. So yeah, a variety of, pretty solid games. Oklahoma State as not an underdog. I don't think they were an underdog actually, but you know, going against a ranked team, they ended up getting a W. So, an interesting week, no doubt. But like I said, week five, man, even Iowa, Maryland on Friday night, those Friday night games have actually been really fun to watch, but Arkansas number 8 against number 2, Georgia. And they're not showing any love to Arkansas. The Hogs are not for real with that 18.5-point spread. Michigan and Wisconsin, you know, Wisconsin's actually kind of run, literally speaking, run Michigan off the field in the last couple of matchups. We'll see if it's any different. Wisconsin 1-2 coming off a really bad performance. They're a 1-point favorite in that game at Cincinnati at Notre Dame. They're a favorite in that one. Ole Miss, Bama. We'll talk obviously about that one. Baylor versus Oklahoma State, another rank versus rank. Auburn and LSU doesn't seem like it's got a lot of hype, obviously, but it's still probably going to be a pretty damn good game. Pac-12 after dark, Arizona State visits number 20 UCLA. That should be a good game. So this one is definitely a jam-packed week. We're going to start with recap. Then, of course, we'll preview and predict the games. And, you know, we like to talk the betting lines, the upsets of the week, the hardcore barn burners that you should keep an eye on just in general. And, of course, the crappy pick of the week. And that is up to 3-1 on the season, okay? We're not 500. We're 3-1. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoperadio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Open and direct, you know, download the show directly there or listen to the browser. You can find this here College Ball Show under the Rope It Dope Radio podcast on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not, or you have, but you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called Direct TV Stream. The prices start as low as $69.99 a month. The best of live TV and on demand, no annual contract, no hidden fees. And if you upgrade to the choice or ultimate package, it'll give you 3 free months of HBO Max, plus you get to enjoy regional sports networks, I should say, with no additional fee. And if you go all the way up to the premium or premiere, I should say, man, I'm messing this all up. HBO Max and Showtime come included in that package. That's Direct TV Stream. Okay. Let's go ahead and bring in my co-host Marshall, who, if you have a map of the United States, is straight down the map in Texas from Minnesota. What's going on, buddy? How the hell are you?
I'm doing good. I normally always have an opening, like, fun rant, and it was really tough this week because a lot of good stuff happened this past Saturday, which I enjoyed. But I'm going to start off with simply enjoying that Clemson is 2-2. I do not have to hear Dabo Swinney bitch and moan about stuff, and I don't think there's any way possible that this team is going to be in the playoff, which is just beautiful. I'm tired of that guy. He's had no offense for this year at all. They scored 21 points this past game because they went overtime, but I don't know, Chris. It's just I enjoy seeing Clemson suffer. They lost the game 10-3. They beat Georgia Tech 14-8, where they had to commit a safety and almost fumble that game away. And then they lost to NC State. So just for the first time in a very long time, which again it does show how long they've been successful. But I simply enjoy seeing Dabo Swinney have a crap year. And you're 2-2. And I can only imagine the Clemson fans that are bitching. But credit to NC State. Someone finally had to beat them in a conference game. And NC State actually really should have never even had OT. Their kicker missed the 38-yard field goal to win in regulation. But then they had a fancy little back in the end zone corner pass to win in double OT. The fans stormed the field. I guess it's just cool because I don't see how they're going to make the playoff. That's my opening rant. I'm happy Dabo Swinney will not be in the playoff picture, and he can make up excuses about how he doesn't want to coach anymore because there's the NIL players getting paid or whatever it is. But I don't have to listen to his nonsense because he won't be a main media figure this year. And how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. He's going to be like, man, I told you guys, man, once we start paying these guys, they don't play hard anymore. They don't play hard, bro. How am I supposed to motivate these guys? I mean, do I got to open up an escrow? That's how we got to do it, I guess. You know, they do have our number 24th ranked Wake Forest November 20th. So that might get them over the hump. but yeah, you're right. Their schedule, I'd say their schedule's weak, but the way they've been playing, it's not that weak. It's pretty tough for them probably. But yeah, I'd be surprised myself because they'll probably be a ranked team just because out of the Coastal. But you never know. That team might have two or three losses as well because, as we know, the Coastal's just whatever hell happens. But, yeah, it does look like they are having one of those seasons that it's just not coming together, which is a bit surprising. You know, I guess they've always had, like, a quality veteran offensive line. Their defense hasn't been bad, but, you know, clearly that defensive line's not as good as it was a chunk of years ago because there was a lot of hype coming in this season. The quarterback, you know, like I said, the quarterback, it's not like he's playing garbage, but he's just not playing great either. And the run game, it's like he led their team in rushing too. And last year, the guy's mobile, he can run, but you didn't really think, oh, we're going to have a dual threat and he's only going to, you know, we're going to have him be our leading rusher too. That's definitely not the case. Usually they always have some stud running back or running game in general. So yeah, they got to go back to the drawing board. No doubt about it. There is a couple of games obviously here that we're going to get to in the opening moments here. I think we should pinpoint in a game that we talked about last week, A&M, speaking of not looking like a top 10 team, even heading into this game, A&M was just that, whereas Arkansas is already, you know, blowout Texas. They've been looking damn good. And Arkansas got the job done, dude. 20-10, a big, big win for them. What'd you think of this, man? I mean, they kind of got up in the game and then just, you know, slowly but surely held their lead. They ran the ball with a variety of – I mean, I'm looking at, you know, some dude named Smith, 17 carries, 82 yards. That's pretty good. I mean, 4.8 a clip. But then you have the quarterback Jefferson had 8 carries. Another dude, Sanders, had 6 carries. Johnson had 6 carries. So they did enough, almost to 200 yards rushing. And more guys, actually. Man, they got a bunch of dudes that ran the ball. But, man, this is a big, big win for Arkansas. And it does feel like, okay, man, here they are. They're actually here. They have some tough games coming up still on the schedule, of course.
Oh, their schedule's absolutely murder's row. But yes, this was nice when we gave it out as a pick. Hopefully some fellow listeners went to the gambling window or online window and clicked and made a bet, because the whole week, Chris, I was literally telling you, I said how I thought the wrong team was favored. That'd be one thing if you went to A&M and played at their crazy nut stadium, but like it was at neutral site in Dallas, in my backyard, and the A&M quarterback was out. So this Calzada, who in his defense isn't their number one quarterback, and you know, I'd heard on a podcast he had happy feet. I'm like, okay, so you have a backup quarterback who's got happy feet, and Arkansas has been playing out of their mind. Like, why is A&M a strong favorite? And it just showed in the game that the A&M offense couldn't really get going. It was 17-3 at half. It was, you know, they scored a touchdown in the third quarter to make it a little bit close, but there was never really any glimpses of A&M putting any drives together. And again, you can blame Calzada. The kid was 20 for 36, 151. Clearly your average passing yards per play is not that good. And he had QB rating of 29. So, I mean, you know, he's not maybe the star that Jimbo was expecting to use this year, but back injuries happen. But nonetheless, I mean, and you really can't even rip A&M's defense. They didn't play awful. I mean, they gave up 20 points, and you know, it was just a game where I think the better team won. Arkansas ran the ball really well. Their quarterback, KJ Jefferson, who's not really known for throwing, he was 7 out of 15, which is not good at all. But one of those passes, Chris, was like a 75-yard touchdown pass to start in the first half. So Arkansas made more plays. Their defense played better. KJ Jefferson did get hurt in the game, and he was like literally out for a quarter. And they kind of had a quarterback came in and then did like kind of a Michael Vick deal where he's just run like crazy. But it worked out, and KJ Jefferson came back in the fourth quarter. So it will be interesting to see. I think, Chris, they obviously really need him if they want to have a chance against Georgia. But, hey, for big picture, if you're Arkansas, you've literally gone from a doormat team to now a team who's going to be, like, highly ranked for their standards. Last year, you impressed a ton of people, scared a lot of people, and had some nice wins. And now you beat Texas A&M and Texas. Like, this is a – I can only imagine the recruiting windows that are opening up and just the hype around campus and, like, I mean, this is a school when Bielema was there, they weren't that good, and they had like a really long losing streak. So this turnaround that Pittman has had as a head coach is honestly remarkable. Like, we always love to hype up Bama, LSU, Florida, Georgia, and they've earned that because they've been a really good team. But I think it's truly hard to build up a team when you're playing those guys. So credit to Arkansas. And obviously they're a huge dog this week, and I don't think anyone expects them to win against Georgia, but they're on a nice trend to start out the year, and they probably have the best collection of wins so far this season. And if you're A&M, you clearly need your quarterback back. I know you said last week with your medical report that he had a crack in his leg. hopefully there's some super good
trying to figure
something.
Out what the hell cracked. Is the whole leg cracked?
they need some super glue because they need a quarterback to come back because, you know, Jimbo and all of his oil money, that ain't going to be going too good if you keep losing games when you're not supposed to or beating Colorado by 3.
Yeah, they're going to have to crack it back or something. I don't know what the hell they're going to have to do. But the Hogs, the Razorbacks, Pete Visto, at Georgia, at Ole Miss, come home. Oh, against Auburn, Mississippi State, who could put up points, at LSU, back-to-back weeks, at LSU and then at Bama. Like, golly, man.
Honestly,
that's a rough
to win. What two games in that stretch wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, no, you that's know. True. Yeah, sure. Yeah, if you went 2-2 out of those, especially those ranked teams, those two.
Wins. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, 2-2, and I don't. Yeah, that's crazy, dude. That's a hell of a run, dude. Man, they got a tough game coming up that we'll definitely get into in the predictions. Excuse me, segment 41-13. And when you look at this score, you know, it was, I mean, Notre Dame was up 10-3 for a while. Wisconsin evened it out, got it to 10-10, and it was 10-10 for a while, back and forth, fumbles, punts, and all that. Wisconsin actually got up 13-10 with a field goal. then a touchdown, Notre Dame, fumble, which led to a touchdown, missed field goal, a punt, but then an interception. And I was wondering, Mertz, I thought Mertz had more touchdowns instead of just four picks, but that's right, he had interception touchdowns. I guess I kind of forgot that those don't count for your touchdown. So back-to-back picks, not just picks, pick sixes. Like, it's one thing to do it once, but golly, you do it twice. So 41-13, it looks like they just demolished him. And they really didn't. They had 32 carries for 9 yards, Notre Dame. And Williams, their running back, or one of them, 18-33. The quarterback just played good enough. They actually had a combo going on. That's right, because they had he actually wasn't playing that good, 15-29, and they brought in that I forgot what his damn name is. It starts with a P. But anyway, Mertz. One touchdown, four picks, two pick sixes. 1-2 Wisconsin. It's looking like it's trouble in Camp Randall right now. They're having a rough season thus far. I thought they were going to be able to sneak this one out. But Notre Dame kind of put it all together, to an extent anyway. I mean, I don't look at them as like some kind of great team. But 41-13 and the way you closed the game defensively and offensively was pretty impressive.
I wonder if in a game, like a defensive, like group of players ever just walked off the field and let a team score like in protest. Right. If I was the Wisconsin defense, Chris, I would consider like, dude, let's just run the option, or let's put our middle linebacker and fullback and do dives the whole game. Like, Wisconsin's defense is actually playing at like an elite level this year. They basically shut down Penn State. They basically shut down Notre Dame. I don't get how you can't take this kid out. I know that you kind of had, it was kind of like the black guy.
Well, their backup's playing for Notre Dame.
it looks bad because, you know, the guy you got rid of just beat you, but he actually got hurt in the game in Cone, yep. You know.
Yeah, and he wasn't playing good anyway.
But what more do you need to see if you're the Badgers coaching staff to realize, guys, how much worse can our backup be? Like, this kid just doesn't have it. He had his first great game against Illinois last year where he had like five touchdowns. Yep. And had like one or two incompletions. He's like 22 for 24 with five TDs, and they whooped Illinois. And then like hit a freshman State quarterback, hit States. We got COVID, and since then he's come back. And I just, again, if I was the Badgers defense, I'd be like, dude, f this. Like, can we get a quarterback to help us win? Because realistically, the Badgers should be 3-0. You should be Penn State, and I'll say Notre Dame was probably a coin flip, Chris, because who knows if they would have won that game. But
yeah, that 2-1 is fair.
But you're looking at, you know, still kind of an optimistic view on the season. You could possibly be 3-0. But again, when your defense is playing at a top probably 15-20 level, and your quarterback has, I believe, 7 interceptions and is abysmal in the red zone. Don't forget, he had 3 fumbles in a Penn State game with running back handoffs.
Yeah, 3 turnovers in the fucking red zone. And that one throw that he had was like, what are you doing, dude? Take the field goal or something. Just don't throw that.
I don't get how much worse it can get. I'm sure they have to have a backup quarterback on the roster. But, and now you're going to Michigan, like, just, and not that Michigan is by any means incredible this year, but they've been decent. Like, they've, you know, shown pretty good signs. I'm just, if I'm a Badger fan, I'd be fed up. And speaking of, and this is, you know, it's interesting, Chris, because where I'm going to go with this is because the quarterback who I'm about to speak of is listed as the 5th Heisman favorite or 4th or in that 4-5 area. Yet his home team fans are literally cursing his name, booing him and wanting him to get benched. And that is Mr. Spencer Rattler, who, again, a lot of people don't like the guy because of his Netflix show. I've heard that from multiple people.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's aside from that, though, you know,
clip. I saw that clip. He did look like a dick.
You don't have to be a nice person to be a good quarterback, you know. But they're watching that game against West Virginia, Chris. Let me ask you this. I'll throw this to you, then we can kind of discuss the game. Are we realizing that maybe Oklahoma fans are a bit spoiled because you've had Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and the dude who's playing for the Eagles, Jalen Smith. Yep. So is it the fact that he's not quite the hype that he should be and that people are realizing that? Or is it just the fact that there's maybe too much hype and this kid still needs some time to grow? Like, is he having a bad year and underperforming? Or are we, did the media build this kid up too high and realize that maybe Lincoln Riley's having a bit of a tough year, which I'm sure Oklahoma fans don't want to see. And this kid is still going through growing pains. What's your kind of take on that? But yeah, the fans are calling for his head and you know, they won the game. It wasn't pretty, but they got the win.
Yeah. I mean, it is, you're right. I mean, this guy, you know, he's been stamped as number one. I actually got into some arguments with some people like, no, he's coming out, you know, being like last year. No, dude, he's going to be the first ring. Like, no, he's not, dude. He can't even come out just yet. So just calm down. But now he can come out and, you know, probably because the money's so damn good and it's guaranteed, he probably will. And, you know, it is kind of a lackluster year in a sense. So I could see why he'd come out first round as the first round, whether you're the first pick or not. But yeah, man, he's just not consistent so far. And even last year too, he's not consistent. Some of the balls he throws deep, you're just like, wow, dude, you really missed that kind of bad. Now he's mounted comebacks and you know what I mean? It's not like he's played garbage in general, but I do think it is like a spoiled thing where it's like, you know, at some point you're not going to be able to hit on a guy and go figure. It wasn't a transfer. All those other three that we talked about were all transfers. So that means they were actually more like third and 4 year guys, you know, when they started. So maybe that plays into it too, because they did, you know, all those guys got reps other places. I mean, Murray played half the season. And as we know, what's his toes from Philly, he freaking, you know, was on his pretty damn good team. Yeah, right, for 2 years, you know. So, I think they're just spoiled. I wouldn't bench him. I think that's kind of – he's not playing that bad. But he's just not – like you said, he's just not what a lot of people projected him to be as of right now. I think they are just kind of spoiled just in general. It would seem anyway.
Just for one more quarterback, and I called this on our first pod of the year. I said Iowa State's overrated, and they went from being ranked seventh to now being unranked. That's because they went to Baylor and lost. Again, an hour down the road from me, hour and a half. Baylor 31, Iowa State 29. A lot of people, Chris, thought that this year in the Big 12 was going to be a two-horse race between Oklahoma and Iowa State to see who would win the title, just like how those teams matched off in the Big 12 championship game last year. But if you're Iowa State, not that the season's over, but you're 2-2. You haven't been playing that well. Iowa kind of whooped you up pretty good. Now you lost to Baylor, so you start the season off 0-1 in a hole, and you went from, again, being seventh to being unranked. Clearly, and Oklahoma by no means is killing it this year, so the Big 12 might be a little more open than we thought. And credit to Baylor for pulling off a win. Like, they're 2-0 in the Big 12. Not that they're expected, Chris, to perform how they have over the last handful of years, because they've actually had some pretty high moments over the time. But I think more so this just shows that Iowa State started the year off with a lot of hype, and they've come crashing back down pretty easily. And it's just weird to see, as I said this on our first podcast, it looks like Brock Purdy has been regressing or staying very even keel. And you have a running back who's going to be a future number one pick. And you still have an offense that just can't seem to get it in gear. Breece Hall on Saturday, 27 carries for 190 yards.
He set the record.
That's good. That's really good.
School history touchdowns too, I think, with 39 or whatever I remember seeing. Yeah. He's definitely probably a first rounder, if, you know, for sure, second rounder, you know. He's going to be a good running back in the pros.
Yes. So I guess just this is more of a summary of the team, but Iowa State, man, you were getting the talk with Oklahoma, and now you're digging yourself a big hole and you're 500 on the year. And again, I don't know if Baylor's legit this year. It's hard to say. Their quarterback was 14 of 19 for $159. Not exactly a world killing pace there, but they won the game. So credit to Baylor. And if you're Iowa State, let's see, you know, everyone loves Matt Campbell, and I'm not saying the guy's not a good coach, but
yeah,
you got to try to reorganize something, because the way the season started for you, I think you have the equivalent of losses right now that you had last year. So that's a tough start in Ames, Iowa, my friend.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, when you've built up this program that we're not used to seeing be solid and pull off upsets over Oklahoma and whatnot, and even what they did last year, you know, by far a better year on paper so far anyway. But I mean, sometimes when all the targets are on you and you're not sneaking up on anybody, and you know, it can be tough. And you know, he chose to stay, and now he may look at it and be like, damn, maybe I should have left. You know, this isn't that fun. He reminds me of Morgan for the Gophers right now, who's we got this veteran quarterback, but he's just not quite playing great. And don't let the score fool you either. They got that touchdown with like 20 seconds left of the game. So it wasn't like they were going to win that game, and they just, you know, threw a pick down the stretch or something like that. That 31-29, yeah, it's a close game. It's competitive and whatnot. But, yeah, you're right. It's just not going so good. That pressure, man, it can mess with you. BYU kept it undefeated 35-27. South Florida kind of came back in that game a little bit, but nothing too crazy. Rutgers was undefeated. And it's not mid-2000s, so, you know, Michigan won 20-13. They jumped out on them real quick. It looked like it was going to be a blowout, and it looked like that 20 points was actually a good, like, hey, Vegas was right. But then Rutgers just kind of hung with them, and they only won 20-13. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get over that Badger hump. We'll talk about it, because a lot of people now are real high on Michigan again. Here we go again. Michigan State needed overtime, 23-20 with Nebraska. A couple of interesting stat here. Nebraska won the yardage 440 to 254 and had 84-53, had 31 more plays and still ended up freaking messing it up. They forced OT, the Sparty did, with a late punt return. And I think they had some more special team stuff too earlier. But a pretty wild week. Basically, this is from ESPN Stats and Info. Six more AP-ranked teams losing. So, in total, 25 AP-ranked squads have lost this season, the most through 4 weeks ever from the poll era. So, that the AP poll started in 1936. So the last couple of weeks we've been talking about, maybe there's no great team this year. Maybe one team's going to have one loss and a variety of teams are going to have two losses. I mean, when you look at that, the most upsets in September, basically since 1936, that kind of tells you something.
Well, and just to kind of keep this theme going as we kind of wrap up our recaps here, another team that was hyped up, like teams we've talked about so far, North Carolina. They were a single-digit ranked team when the season started, and they lost to Vatek with the Enter Sandman song. That's not the end of the world, but, right. You know, like that, the Vatek's not a bad loss. But now you have a second loss in Georgia State. Georgia Tech killed you.
Slapped them all around.
45-22. So the ACC, honestly, for the first time in however many years, is open because Clemson's now out of the picture. But if you would have told Chris, if someone would have called into our podcast and said, I don't think that North Carolina or Clemson's going to win the ACC this year, I'd be like, all right, well, who the hell is your pick?
Yeah, and just give me your account number and just deposit the shit in my account because I'll take that bet.
Yeah. So, yeah, let me know. Is there any good stocks I need to buy? You know, the first one would sound crazy. But as of now, neither team looks good. And maybe it was the Tar Heels losing that group of good wide receivers that's really hurt because their quarterback came back. But he's been trashed this year. So, they lost 45-22. And I don't think Georgia Tech is a star-studded team. You know, they'd had that same coach forever, and they ran the option for about 15 years. But that guy left a couple of years ago, and Coach Johnson. So a lot of teams who have been hyped up have been losing. And to give credit to a team who's unsurprised, I don't think anyone, Chris, had Sparty at 4-0. I know we've been kind of picking at Nebraska because they've actually had a pretty painful year where they've had a lot of good games and they've lost them all, it seems. But Michigan State being 4-0 and being ranked, this is a school that has been ranked for a couple of years now. And I don't think many people had them being undefeated. So credit to them. While a lot of other schools are really just kind of being ranked and then falling apart. What a weird week. And just the mentioned Missouri because that's the team I cheer for. They back and forth game with BC. Offenses were kind of going up and down the field. BC went on a drive with like a 7-minute drive to take a lead, and then Missouri kicked a 56-yard field goal at the end of regulation to force OT, which is incredible for college. And then BC scored on their first OT drive, and then on Missouri's first play, the quarterback threw a pick. So that was kind of a punch to the gut for a game I really hope Missouri could have won. But speaking of field goals, I guess Justin Tucker kind of took the cake from this past week.
Jesus.
But a lot of teams have been underperforming this year, my friends, kind of a common theme, which means it could be a really interesting poll as we get later in the year because, like you said, there aren't a whole lot of dominant teams yet this year.
Yeah, and I've been talking about those Friday games. There was two of them last week or 2 weeks ago. Last week was Marshall and Appalachian State, and maybe that was Thursday night. I think it was Friday night, but it was a damn good game. Appalachian State, you know, had some issues early, you know, with the interception and a fumble and a turnover on downs, but they were still in the game. They were down 30-21 somewhat late in the game. Marshall missed a back-to-back field goals, ended up losing the game 31-30. That was actually a really fun game. And my Gophers, somehow, some way, the biggest point spread on the books loss is 45.5 points. It happened in 2017. It was like, I forgot the name of the team, but it was obviously bad, right? In the top 10 goes all the way to 32. I've done some research here. The ninth worst one was that Michigan one in 2007. So the Gophers are somewhere in the top 15, probably, maybe top 20, but I'm guessing top 15 of worst losses with the point spread, you know, being 30.5. And the Gophers actually tied when it comes to two FBS teams playing. Because usually it's not a, you know, not an FBS team per se. We, as a 30.5 point favorite, they tied the largest upset between two FBS programs since Texas State, who we know a lot about because they're in the Crafty Crappy Pick of the Week. Texas State defeated Houston, and this is weird because tied for the largest upset, but it says minus 35 into 2020. So how could it tie? Why would it tie if it was 30.5 and the other one was 35? So I don't know. Maybe it closed at 30. I don't know. But anyway, it was just garbage. And it's almost like the line didn't play great. It was inconsistent on the offensive end. But usually when we have these ugly games, sometimes it's been the defense. That wasn't the case. It was the offense. You know, the running back got like 170 yards, you know, like I don't know. Like, Morgan is just not, you know, playing that well, the experienced quarterback. And, you know, this is on a serious note. His father did pass during the off season. I think somewhere in the middle of the summer, so that could be messing with them. But we've seen him be inconsistent at times beyond that 2019 year from 2 years ago. So it's almost like they're afraid to put it in his hand. But even when they did in that game, I mean, I think he only threw the ball like 12 or 15 times, but it was like 5 of 12 or 5 of 15. He misfired. He just wasn't playing all that good. So, yeah, that one to me was just a complete shocker. I would have much rather have lost this week on the road to Purdue just because it's just more respectable in a sense. You know what I mean? Liberty-Syracuse. Syracuse got the win 24-21. That was a competitive game, and it was Thursday night. I was wrong. It was Thursday night that Marshall Appalachian State, now that I'm looking at it. I didn't see the Charlotte Middle Tennessee game, but 42-39. Wow. So yeah, my Gophers, have one of their worst loss probably ever. I mean, that one was really, really bad. So hopefully they can get their shit together because they have talent and all that. But another one, SMU on the road at TCU. That was kind of a surprise. Texas put up 70 points. That was kind of a surprise too. Western Michigan actually looks pretty good this year. San Jose State's okay. They pulled an upset 2 weeks ago. They got pretty much housed 23-3. So overall, though, it was a fun week of football considering UTSA over Memphis. That was a minor upset, too. I remember looking at that game. So, yeah, we had some upsets, no doubt about it, and it's really kind of ringing true. Oh, wait, whoa, hold on. We can't let this one slide. How could I let this one slide? USC. Marshall, you still there?
Oh, USC. I had to pull up. I was about
So it's the first loss to Oregon State in L.A. since 1960, and good it Lord. Wasn't all that close.
No, you know, I got to sing a lot of praise last week, and I thought the tables had turned, and the tables turned backwards again. So, I don't recall. We've had a couple of like weird games with Oregon State normally, but it's there. Getting your ass whipped by Oregon State, and I know they've been getting better, and that I've watched them play a couple of games last year. Like, that program is improving. But I don't think you should be losing 45-27 to Oregon State in LA.
There was like 12 people there late in that game. I saw someone from the press box take a shot of the stadium.
I don't
like
blame them.
17 people.
No, I don't blame them at all. Like, I would have left too. Like, that's embarrassing. The kicker about that UTSA Memphis game, Memphis was up 21-0. So again, I mean, UTSA, like, that's a school that's for the last handful of years, Chris, has been okay, but they're 4-0, and I mean, they're clearly building something, and it's like they're in a super hard conference, but credit to them. Like, you're 4-0, you went on the road to beat Memphis, who's normally always a pretty damn good competent team. So yes, props to UTSA. And
they don't want to be in the crappy pick of the week this year, dude. They're like, nah, dude, we're not in that realm.
Well, and just to make ourselves feel slightly better, considering Mizzou lost, USC got their ass whooped, and the Gophers had the Gophers like minus 2,400 on the money line, or 25, I don't know, whatever it was, probably more than 20. The Florida State Seminoles lost yet again to, again, you know, Mike Norvell was a great coach in Memphis and did a lot of good things.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Chris, if they fire Norvell this year from Florida State, they'll be on the books for paying three former coaches.
Yeah.
So in these does the school want to pay three coaches and bring in a fourth? Maybe they might want to. Who knows? So
I mean, without a COVID year, and right now they're probably not selling too many tickets either. I mean, the walk-ups are probably not happening. They've closed that press box or the box office probably, you know, before kickoff. Like, nobody's gonna even come here.
So yeah, that recaps what was actually a really fun week.
Yeah.
As we jump
just
ahead,
not for us.
No. at least I made money. I made money. You know, thankfully I didn't bet my teams. As we jump ahead to week five, honestly, if you watched just SEC games this Saturday, you would have a really good day. But obviously, we're going to talk about more games than that. But the SEC alone is really loaded. You have Arkansas against Georgia. You have LSU Auburn. You have my Ole Miss team with Lane Kiffin against Bama. It's a pretty fun week. So just to start off, one of the games that kicks off at 11 on Saturday is Arkansas at Georgia. The point spread is high. It's 18.5, and Arkansas has got an 8 next to them. So you'd probably think, okay, like that seems a little ridiculous. But with that being said, Georgia's got a super, super good run defense, and Arkansas can't really throw the ball. So if you're wondering, okay, you know, why is the spread that high? And I think it's a little bit too high personally, but Arkansas has been running the ball. They ran it down Texas's throat. They did beat a good A&M team, but who had a backup quarterback. Clearly, Chris, this will be their biggest test of the year. I'm not saying they can't win. I think that'd be stupid the way Arkansas has been playing. Clearly, this team is riding high as much as they can. And if you're Georgia, okay, you beat Clemson 10-3. And then you beat UAB, which is not much. You beat South Carolina, who was using the assistant coach as a quarterback. And then Georgia beat Vandy. Chris, get this shit. Georgia beat Vandy last week 62-0. Georgia had 62 points. Vandy had 77 yards of offense.
Eesh.
So when you outscore your team's total yards, clearly that was
yeah, that's saying
game.
Something.
But what does your gut say on this matchup? Again, Arkansas is riding high, but is Georgia going to be upset prone? I mean, clearly they should. They've seen the press clippings. What's your gut tell you about this SEC matchup? Again, at 11 o'clock, so a really good start to your Saturday.
Yeah, it's very true. The 18.5 does make me think, like, here's the thing. If Georgia starts fast and they get up, let's say, 17-3, I don't like Arkansas chances of coming back. And then all of a sudden that 18.5 sounds about right. You know what I mean? Like you said, the Arkansas really isn't going to go out there and throw the ball a ton. So they got to really stay with them, and they're going to need some turnovers. They're going to have to play really well in the red zone. The quarterback did come back, right? Yeah, he did come back, like you said, in that game. So he's going to play, but yeah, I'm actually, that 18.5, I think it really, like the first quarter and a half, I think that kind of plays into it. And I know that's kind of cheating because, like, well, just wait for a quarter and a half and then see if you like the 18.5. On the surface, without, you know, scratching below the surface, it does kind of feel like Arkansas can lose, even if it's a late touchdown, by less than 18.5. So I still feel like, you know, yeah, probably. But Georgia barely beat Clemson. And this just in, Clemson's not great, right? So,
true.
You know, what was it, 10-3 or something
yeah.
like that? It wasn't much. So, I don't know. I mean, they do have a damn good defense, though, this year. So I'm still going to go Arkansas with the points, but like I said, those first quarter and a half, if it's 17-3 or something, then I think it's a complete wrap. I think Georgia's going to win, but I'll go Arkansas with the points.
And I'll follow you there. Again, Arkansas is a really well-coached team. They've been playing out of their minds for the last 2 years. So I'll join you on that spread.
Let's talk about this Bama stuff now, because what in the hell happened here?
Oh, yeah. And then we'll get back to Michigan, Wisconsin, because that point spread's mind-blowing, too. Okay, so it's Ole Miss against Bama. Clearly, I will be locked in. I'm going to go to my favorite restaurant brewery to watch that game. I'm very excited.
Favorite brewery restaurant.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean, come on.
True.
Did you really just do – I'm shutting this down.
My favorite brewery in Texas.
There you go.
So the point spread, when Vegas released the Sunday night lines, the point spread was Alabama -20 against Ole Miss. Apparently, and I believe it was MGM or a very like well-respected Vegas casino. The when that line came out, the Vegas casino initially took 10 max bets immediately on Ole Miss +20. normally you do not see Vegas miss a line by that much. They essentially dropped the line down very quickly, and the line is now 14.5, and it's been that way since. Again, I'm not predicting an outright win by Lane Kiffin. I don't think it's impossible, but Vegas clearly was viewing the game differently than the media was. So, again, this should be a super fun game. Ole Miss has improved their defense a little bit this year. It's not a doormat like it was last year. So the defense has got better. They had a couple of transfers come in from the Big Ten who actually have been really helpful. And they looked respectable. And the offense with Matt Corral at quarterback just looks a whole lot better. This is the same kid last year who had a couple of games where he threw five picks. Hell, he threw five picks against Arkansas last year. So, you know, this kid's – he's made a lot of progress. So, again, it's Ole Miss, Bama. I'll be taking Ole Miss. I think they will cover. I'm not going to pick against my guy Lane. But, obviously, Saban's going to be prepared. Last year when they did play, it was pretty much a shootout for the whole game until the fourth quarter, and Bama pulled away just a little bit. So, Chris, the over-under has bounced between 77 to 79. You got a 14-point spread. This is the 230 CBS game. I'm taking my boy Kiff, and I wish I would have took the 20 points when it opened up Sunday night. That would have been smart.
Should have done the show on Sunday.
Maybe I should tease it up, get a 7-point tease, because I think Ole Miss is going to score. They scored on Bama last year, and Bama was a better team last year. So, but again, Saban's offense is going to score too. This should be a super fun game to watch. What does your gut say for this? Again, back to back, Arkansas, Georgia, then Ole Miss and Bama. What's your gut say on this one, my friend?
I still just can't believe. Maybe I'm just getting old, but 79, like Alabama is in a game that's 79.5 point over under. It blows my mind. And credit to, you know, Saban for the last chunk, you know, several years now, obviously, knowing he had to, he couldn't just have a game manager and all that shit. You know, he obviously, and it's like, why receiver you all of a sudden the last like 5 years? But I still can't believe that. But you know what? I am going to go Bama, and I think they will cover. If it was 17, 18.5, I saw it at 18.5, I swear, and I was like, oh, I'm taking that. And I just didn't get around to it, and boom, 14.5. So I'm actually going to go Bama. I think that they actually will get the W in cover. But, that's the thing about that 17 and 18 range. It's like when you got a high-scoring offense, we talked about it off-air just a second ago, like they could score two touchdowns in a matter of 6 minutes. Maybe they score at the five-minute mark, and then Bama's conservative with it, and they got a punt. And then even if it's like, 10 seconds left in the game and they just, score a touchdown, I could really see kind of like garbage fantasy points. You know what I mean? That's what the vibe I'm going with. But I think now that it's down to 14.5, Bama had that scare full on with Florida, who isn't the offensive team they were before. So, man, that's a tough one. But I am going to go Bama to win outright cover. Now, Michigan and Wisconsin. Wisconsin has handled them of late. Last year, I jumped on the bandwagon. This will be the year that they'll beat Wisconsin. And I believe they just got their ass kicked, if I remember correctly. Will the Badgers? Yeah, dude, 49-11. 49-11, they got beat last year. Mertz only had to have 127 yards passing. So he was safe there. You know, can Wisconsin, finally do something positive? Because that game was very winnable. They led in the second half, momentarily, but it was a very tight game. And as we know, we just talked about that Penn State game three separate times. It's just like in the red zone, what are you doing? Just take the field goals, for Christ's sakes. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, 69% Michigan going into Camp Randall. I still think they're going to play there. I mean, it's a bad season, but they're still going to play there, right? So, I mean, what says you? I mean, is it time for Michigan, to be unranked and kind of come out of, not out of nowhere, but kind of out of nowhere to finally have even just a solid season? If so, they would win here. And the point spread, it is kind of head scratching.
How can you bet Mertz in Wisconsin? I don't know.
I already did the something's got to give last week, and nothing gave. I mean, something gave, but it was in the form of two pick sixes.
Again, and I'm sure Wisconsin's defense will play good again. I'm sure they'll probably keep Michigan bottled up, but I cannot pick Wisconsin. I can't bet Wisconsin. You got to take Michigan plus one. Because until Graham Mertz wins a game against a reputable school, that Eastern Michigan game really doesn't mean shit.
He beat Illinois last year, dude.
I mean, yeah,
they're in the Big Ten. They're in the Big Ten.
Mertz is going to throw a couple of picks. It's like he did it against Penn State. He did it against Notre Dame. Like, how are they favored? I don't. Again, normally you would say betting
jump
on
around,
it.
Dude. Once they start playing that song, jump around, Mertz is going to be motivated.
I'm taking Harbaugh. I'm taking Michigan. That's all I got. I could not feasibly bet Wisconsin with their quarterback. I couldn't do it. So I think Michigan will win just because I think it'll be a low scoring game. Mertz will make a couple of mistakes and Michigan will cash in because Michigan's got a pretty good defense this year, too. So in a battle of defensive teams, I'll take a team that's offense is slightly better.
And they're running the ball like it's Nebraska in 1984, you know, Michigan this year. So I remember when those Cornhuskers came into the Metrodome sometime in the 80s and beat my squad 84-13 or something like that. Some guy named Rozier, you know, he just completely trampled us. But, you know, I was a year late. It's my fault. I was a year late. Michigan's going to do it this year. I swear it's been a handful of years, and a lot of times it's been ass whoopings. I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. Now watch. They're going to come out and, you know, put up 21 points in the first half. But speaking of another point spread here that's kind of interesting, this is a great week of college football on paper. Number 7 Cincinnati, yes. We're not talking basketball here. Number 7 Cincinnati, 3-0 at Notre Dame, and this isn't Soldier Field. This is at Notre Dame Stadium. The Bearcats favored 2.5 points on the road, so that's 5.5 points. I mean, how bad is Notre Dame? Like, wow, really? I mean, I know they've been struggling this year, but didn't Cincinnati just kind of, they grounded out against Indiana on the road at Indiana. They could have lost that game. They kind of made it look good in the end there. But what says you about this one, the Bearcats and the Irish?
I can't. Well, Chris, I'm there's so much venom coming out of me. There's so much hatred. I can't bet Cincinnati's quarterback, Ritter, who's like the third favorite for the Heisman. That's how shitty the Heisman is this year, is the fact that Desmond Ridder and Spencer Rattler are possible candidates.
That's a good call. That is bad, dude.
Ritter's not a good quarterback. He can run, but he ain't a passer. If you watch that first half last week against Cincinnati or against Indiana, that was ugly, ugly football. And he is the running that offense. It's partially has to do with him. So I don't know. But Notre Dame, they could have lost to Florida State. They beat Toledo by 3. They beat Notre Dame by 14. Notre Dame was down 13-10 to Wisconsin, and then they scored a plethora of points. I don't effing know.
Vegas has got us all head scratching, man. They really got us in a tizzy.
This one, I will take. Oh, good God. Oh, Christ. I gotta take Cincinnati's defense will win in this game. I'll say that. Cincinnati finds a way to win. I'll take their defense cautiously.
As much as I hate to say it, and trust me, I hate to say it, I'm gonna go with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish at home. They're coming off a good win. They do have a backup quarterback that looked pretty fancy. He looks like he believes in God. No, I'm just kidding. It's just a joke. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm going to go to Notre Dame. I'm going Notre Dame to get that.
Oh, but if they do win, Chris.
Who's hurt? What hurt? What happened?
No. Next week, though, if let's say Notre Dame wins this game, which they could. Next week, going to Enter Sandman at night. They ain't winning that shit.
Ooh.
All right. Va Tech. All right. They'll be ready. They'll be ready.
How many times do you see Notre Dame an underdog at home in the last, since Kelly's been there? Not too many times. So I'm going to go Notre Dame, NBC 130. I like how these games are a little spaced out a little bit. The other ranked versus ranked. Oh, yeah. This is like kind of to put yourself on the map for real this time, because Baylor and Oklahoma State is 4-0, both of them. They've had some tight-ass games, but they've managed to get over the hump. Oklahoma State has basically the home field advantage. That's basically the spread, 3.5. And according to our favorite index, the ESPN Power Football Power Index, 53% to 47%, not the Sooners, but the Cowboys, are a favorite there at Boo Pickens Stadium. What says you about this one? Because, you know, Baylor has been putting up points. Of course, they played Kansas, so I don't really know what to think about that. But the win over Boise State, barely. The win over Tulsa, barely. I mean, they even struggled and only won over Missouri State. So in Missouri State, so there's a bunch of Bears there because they're called the Bears. I didn't know Missouri State was called the Bears, but I guess, you know, I guess they are. What do you think here? Is Baylor going to walk in to Cowboy Country and Boo Pickens and get the job done? Or do you like the home squad? I'm going with the Cowboys to grind it out and find a way. I'm going over, too, by the way, 47.5. I'm going over that.
I will take Oklahoma State to win at home, so I'll join you. It seems like for the last handful of years, they're just a really good home team, and unless Oklahoma walks in there, they normally play pretty well. And I haven't seen a whole lot of these teams either this year, so this will be a good kind of a matchup indicator. This could be a team that could be winning the Big 12 this year. It's possible Big 12 preview. I mean, Oklahoma's by no means heads and above everyone. So I'll take the Cowboys to win. Again, I think after this game, Chris, we'll both have a lot better feeling on who's for real. Obviously, it was a nice win by Baylor last week to beat Iowa State, you know. But I'm just going to take Oklahoma State, and we'll have a much better gut feeling on who these teams really are when we do our podcast next Monday or next Tuesday.
Let's double up on these.
Okay.
Number 22, Auburn at LSU. At night, I have to preference that. 8:00, 2 Central. My God, that is going to be – I feel bad for – okay, I'll just stop. But Arizona State going to UCLA, going to UCLA. I mean, both those games, the home team is favored 3.5 points, go figure. You know, LSU, are they going to finally beat – you know, I don't know. LSU at home at night, you kind of got to give them the win. And I think Arizona State's actually going to beat UCLA.
LSU needs something. Even anything you hear in the media, like players are kind of losing interest, or there's not much good mojo going around. So if there was a night to kind of regroup and get back on the right track, like I think this would be that day for Orgeron and LSU. So I think they win. Last week, Auburn was down like 15 points to Georgia State at half. So Auburn and Bo Nix are by no means any world beaters on offense. And I'm with you. I hope that Arizona State pulls off that win too against UCLA. UCLA clearly has a great running back, which we've saw against LSU and many other schools, but their defense still has a ways to go. So I'll take Arizona State and I'll take LSU. I'm with you on that.
Speaking of figuring out who they are, Minnesota, a dog now, 2.5 points, 2.5 on the road. I'm going my Gophers. I think they'll just hit the urgency button. Tomorrow night or Thursday night, not that these teams are any good, but Virginia, Miami will probably be a good game. Tulsa's 1-3, but they're a favorite over Houston at home, 4.5. And this is the one I'm looking Ford did the most on Friday night. I completely forgot. I could have sworn it was at Iowa. I was talking about this with my co-host for the Vikings show yesterday, Aaron. And I thought it was at Iowa. And I was like, nah, you're not going to go at night and win, you know, in Iowa, as we know how that works. But it's not. It's in Maryland, home of the Terrapins. And they're 4-0. They got a fancy footwork guy that can zing the ball at quarterback, the younger, more like leaner and shiftier, not as good as quarterback as his brother, obviously, especially in college. But speaking of kind of feeling it out, we're going to see where Maryland is at 4-0, both 4-0, Iowa on the road. Friday night, these Friday night games have been pretty damn good. I know a lot of people don't like Friday night and college football, the combination of that. I get it. But that should be a good game.
I'm with you. And I think that Iowa's going to find a way to gut it out. I think that Iowa's defense will travel. I think they'll make, baby Tua struggle a little bit. And Maryland, they haven't beat anyone great yet. So I think Iowa will find a way to have some, like, scoop and score touchdowns or do something defensively like they've been doing so far this year to find ways to win, and they'll stay undefeated. I think it should be a fun game, though. Clearly, Vegas is giving Maryland a decent amount of respect, Chris. Iowa's only -3.5. So that's showing, you know, this should be a close, fun game. But I'll take the Hawkeyes to remain undefeated as the fifth-ranked team in the country.
Yeah, their offense is still trying to figure out what they're doing. And, you know, that's kind of Iowa. You know what I mean? If they run the hell out of the ball and be like, where's the tight end? Where's the tight end? We got to get him drafted in the first four rounds. There he is. Okay, we'll go to the tight end. But, you know, both their – the thing I'll say is both the offensive defense lines, no surprise, that's Iowa. But they're damn good. They're damn good, and that's kind of what, you know, has been getting them through this. Let's keep the tracker going here. Syracuse 3-1, coming off a nice win over Liberty, who's pretty good. The underdog on the road at Florida State, 4.5 points. Will they actually finally pull their head out of their ass and win a game? Probably. I mean, they got to turn the corner at some point. That's about it. That's about it. Obviously, we have the crappy pick of the week, which, you know, has now moved to 3-1 on the season. So if you're following the crafty pick of the week, we keep trying to tell you this the last several years. If you want to make a little Skrilla, the crappy pick of the week will get you some Skrilla.
And we found ourselves a nice one this week, too. We're going back to Texas again, Chris. We really are.
Man, there's a theme here with Texas and garbage teams outside the Power Five. Go ahead. Sorry.
One of these has been a repeat customer. It punches its card quite often. And actually, I believe there was a triple doink field goal with this team last year in a game. Do you remember the team?
I don't remember the team. I don't remember the team, but I remember the triple doink.
Okay, so this game is in Houston, Texas. It's on ESPN3. It has a original 5:30 Central kickoff time, 83 degrees expected. So I'm sure it's humid and hot in Houston. It is the Southern Miss Golden Eagles traveling to face the Rice Owls. So we have birds fighting birds in a matchup that should be a pretty fun game. It's we always try to keep the point spreads fair, even though when Shea teams the point spreads normally are pretty close. Rice is a 2.5 point home favorite. The over under is 45 points. Rice is just not that good. they were up at half, or they were playing Arkansas really good in their first game of the year, and then Arkansas was like, holy shit, we got to wake up and play some football. Rice was up 10-7 on Arkansas, who's now ranked the eighth team in the country.
And that wasn't first quarter either.
But then Arkansas won 31-7 in the second half and kind of beat them up. And then Rice got murdered by Texas after Arkansas whooped Texas. Actually, Arkansas and Rice probably really hates Arkansas. That's just a side note to know for a fun fact. But what does your gut say?
Are you going to take my whole shtick here or what? Should I start doing your alumni bit? Or what are we going to do here? I mean, Jesus Christ.
What's your gut say, brother, in this Conference USA matchup?
Oh, my God. This guy, man, stealing the whole segment. Well, first of all, if you do want to go to Rice Stadium, tickets start as low as $9 on Vivid Seats. So, you know, you got that going for you. And ESPN, the power index, 64.8 in favor of Southern Miss, the Golden Eagles. And, you know, I don't think Brett Favre's good. Well, he'll probably be there. But, you know, or no, he won't be. It's not on the home. So, unless they pay him, he'll pay any. If you pay him, he'll show up. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we got our classic 17 points and 18 points on offense apiece. Rice is giving up 43.5 points, but you know, they did play some squads here. Compared to 28.8, so almost basically 29. They both can kind of run the ball. Neither of them are passing over 200 yards, which isn't a whole lot. If you're not averaging 200 yards in college, you're well over 200 on the ground, and neither of these teams are. Now, the big point here, okay, on the like, dude, 227 yards they give up on the ground, Rice, compared to 88, and that's 88, you know, going against Bama. Man, you know, my gut tells me what you said. I saw them in the opening weekend, and that was well into that game too. It wasn't the first quarter, and that's it. They were well into that game. But man, when you start to look at it, and you know, maybe I'm talking myself out of this. I don't know, man. I'm kind of all over the place. Back to back road games. I'm tap dancing here. Just trying to 47,000 people in that stadium. That's pretty impressive. $9. Oh boy, this one's tough, dude. This one's tough. But they're pissed off from that Longhorn stuff. They want to get in Houston. Jesus Christ. You know, they had all off season to scout Arkansas, I guess, and that's why they hung with them. Oh boy, this one's a pick 'em to me. I just don't like those rushing yards, dude. Like if you can just keep running all day, but then again, they only average 124 on the ground. You know what? I'm sticking to my original guns when it comes to you were competitive with a good ass team. And that was the Rice Owls. And I'm going Rice at home. I don't care that they just got skunked 58-0. I don't care if a not as good as Houston team in the last couple of years beat them 44-7. I mean, this is what it's all about, the crafty, crappy pick of the week. I'm going for the home team Rice to get the job done. Favre's nephews doesn't go there or anything, right? He doesn't have a nephew there.
I don't believe
check.
So.
No, okay. So, yeah. I'm going to go the Rice Owls, sir.
All right. And in the battle of alumni, obviously Southern Miss has Brett Favre, former Packer and Viking great. Ray Guy, which was one of the best punters, kickers in the NFL history. Jimmy Buffett, Clarence Weatherspoon. There's an astronaut pictured in one of their alumni photos. And after that, there's a lot of athletes and pads I do not recognize from their names, so I don't think they were that great. Oh, Mac Brown actually went to – wow, I didn't know that. Mac Brown, the former coach of Texas, now the coach of the Carolina Tar Heels football team, went to Southern Miss. I was unaware of that. And a former NFL quarterback named Nick Mullins and Brian Dozier, a twin that was a definite fan favorite and actually won a World Series with the Nationals. And I mention the Nationals because my boy Anthony Rendon – went to Rice University. He's my favorite national of all time. And he helped them win a World Series. So with that being said, Chris, the Rice alumni battle goes to Rice because Anthony Rendon went there, and I'm biased in my own segment. So on that note, again, 3-1. I'm just saying there's no prep behind this. I never let Chris know what I'm going to pick. Halftime, I pissed him off with my picks. Today, I gave too long of a preview. So, but hey, 3-1 on the year. Last year, we were 10-3. I'm just saying, if you want to make a little side hustle money.
Well, we definitely weren't 10-3 last year because there's no way we have that many games now.
The year prior.
7-3? Oh, yeah.
But the year prior, year prior, we were 10-3. So, again, it's a fun segment we love to do, which leads to last, but we're actually pretty damn good at it, too. So, on that note, again, you have an incredible slate of college football. The SEC is loaded, along with a lot of other good games that pretty much are from 11 till about 5 o'clock for sure. You're loaded up with good football. And you can turn on the Southern Miss Rice battle on ESPN3 if you choose.
Yeah, stream that, bitch.
stream that. Or drive down to Rice and pay $10 to get into the game and probably pay $10 for a beer.
Yeah.
So on that note, as always, thank you for listening to our podcast. We appreciate and love the support. And we'll be back next week. Stay safe. Wear a mask if you have to. And enjoy the weather as fall season and football comes along. We're out tonight. Peace.